We're standing on Trex decking, which was made with recycled plastic and recycled wood shavings.
Reed Bertone Johnson proudly rattles off the environmental achievements of the building he manages, a satellite classroom for Smith College, perched atop a hill in Whately.
The insulation values of the walls are substantially higher than a normal home would be built.
The main room is full of exposed wood beams and huge triple glazed windows that let in plenty of sun.
We more often than not do not need to turn on any lights in our building.
What power it does use comes from two pole-mounted solar panels. And for the pièce de résistance,
we have composting toilets.
Where human waste falls to the basement, gets mixed with pine shavings, and sits for up to 15 years in a three-chamber composter with surprisingly little odor.
And I can even open up the door, crank the compost around. This is just a ratchet.
Altogether, these attributes make up a certified living building. That means it met some of the most stringent criteria in the green building industry. To get the certification, living buildings must produce more energy than they use, capture all their own water, use local products, avoid any toxic materials, and essentially mimic a self-contained organism. Since the Living Building Challenge began a decade ago, only 8 buildings have passed. Smith's Field House, built in 2012, was the 5th.
Come on in.
And this week, Hampshire College in Amherst opens a much larger project, a $7 million, 17,000-square-foot welcome center that it hopes will qualify as the next living building.
All of this wood you see here is reclaimed red oak timber.
As campus tour guides walk by, praising the building to prospective students, builder Jonathan Wright points out the highlights, including a system to catch rainwater on the roof and treat it right on site.
So that spins around with the force of the water, and it cleans out the debris.
Hampshire still has to present a year of utility bills to pass the challenge. Williams College in Williamstown entered a building into the Living Building Challenge last year, and the Hitchcock Center in Amherst has one in construction. All that would make Western Massachusetts the most dense spot for living buildings outside the Pacific Northwest, where the concept originated.
It is a little bit unusual. We do tend to see that one project spurs inspiration for another.
Amanda Sturgeon directs the Living Building Challenge. Since it began, she says the bar has become easier to meet. Solar power is cheaper and more accessible. And the more builders brainstorm ways to meet the challenge, the more the industry changes.
So we're sort of tugging the whole market forward. You know, we're helping to create new products, for example, those that don't contain toxic chemicals.
Yet builders still get tripped up by the living building rules. Hampshire had to delay window construction by 5 months because it couldn't find highly efficient glass made within 500 miles. Since every piece of material, down to the duct tape, has to be non-toxic, Bertone Johnson says Smith College spent thousands of dollars extra for lighting fixtures they could prove did not have blacklisted ingredients. And then there's negotiating with government regulators around unfamiliar things, like composting toilets.
Well, initially we failed our public health inspection because they couldn't find the exhaust fan, but it just took a little bit of education.
Smith and Hampshire estimate spending about 10% more on their living buildings than a typical construction project. Hampshire President Jonathan Lash says it'll all pay off in the end. The college will save on utility bills, promote its green principles, and it already helped with fundraising.
What excited the donors was that the building was way out there at the cutting edge. If we'd done something that was just pretty green but nothing special, it would have been much tougher to raise the money.
That's actually one reason some people are wary of the Living Building Challenge.
Extremes sell. Just good buildings that will last a very long time and use very little energy and very little water, they just don't sell.
Emmanuel Cosgrove is someone you'd expect to love the living building concept. He describes himself as a wacko environmentalist. His own townhouse in Montreal was among the first in North America to get LEED Platinum certification. He built a garden on his roof to process gray water from showers and dishwashing, and he runs EcoHome, a Canadian green building organization. But as for the Living Building Challenge,
there are a lot of great ideas that have the best intentions behind them, but can have reverse repercussions.
For example, he says putting up solar panels building by building can be less efficient than plugging into a public grid that already uses hydro or wind power. Same with water. He says his organization analyzed the environmental impact of collecting and treating rainwater, and considering the equipment involved, found it was worse than just using a municipal water supply.
That really bursts our bubble, you know. We don't want to hear that. But I mean, when we're doing this to truly make our collective environmental impact lesser, yeah, we have to listen to what science tells us.
Cosgrove also balks at the argument that living buildings lift the environmental bar for everyone and inspire others to move in that direction. That might work for universities, he says, but it's likely to intimidate the average homeowner or builder.
They'll say, whoa, that sure ain't for me. And all we can hope for is that it won't deter more people than it draws into the sustainable building movement.
The Living Building Challenge does allow projects to win a partial certification if they can't meet all the criteria. And fans of this movement say striving for an ideal doesn't have to derail more modest improvements. Leaders at Smith and Hampshire say the Living Building Standard has inspired them to make the rest of the campus, including the oldest, most inefficient buildings, at least a little bit more green. For New England Public Radio, I'm Karen Brown.